Hey, this is a day the Lord has made. We're supposed to do what? Rejoice and be glad. I'm going to give you a cause to rejoice here in just a moment. God gives us just the opposite perspective than what the world does. Amen. He says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious. Don't be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Amen. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. That's a good word. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Man, that's some good words there. Amen. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, and do not fret. It only causes harm. Tell your neighbor, fretting only causes harm. Go ahead and tell him. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. That's a good word, amen. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Did you hear that? In the days of famine, God's people will be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadow, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth. Those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. What a word, amen. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. Who's the hand of the Lord? Jesus. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seeds out begging for bread. What a word for all of us, amen. Say it with me. Some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Amen. The high priest in the tabernacle or the temple would take a piece of the sacrifice, and he would hold it in his hand and he would wave it before the Lord. In fact, that's what Paul's talking about in Romans 12 there when he said, I wish you would offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. A wave offering is exactly what we're singing here, that we would give our lives in total surrender, that we're no longer our own. We've been bought with the price. We lay our whole lives down. We lay everything about us down at His feet. Our emotions, our desires, everything is surrendered to Him. And the potter can do whatever he wants with the clay. He can do whatever he wants with that clay. Let's sing that just a little bit more, where we surrender. Our arms are wide open as we wave before the Lord this morning, saying, Lord, take my life. As we surrender it to you this morning. There's no way that we can dictate to the Holy Spirit what He should do or not. Last week He showed up. If you weren't here last week, man, but we should come in here with great expectation. I'm going to get to preach this week, but last week I didn't. And all the things, I've had several testimony people that were healed already this week. But we should come in with great expectation. We had people giving their heart to the Lord last week. We had all kinds of awesome things happen. But He's just as much real today as He was last week. Sometimes He ministers through His Word. Sometimes He ministers through the supernatural, like He did last week, and just pushes us out of the way. I'm thankful for those times. Sometimes He uses donkeys, sometimes He don't. But we should come in with great expectation. Our God is doing things, and He's doing it in our midst, and we should grow in our faith. Amen. Father, we thank You for these moments that we have with You. We thank You for the opportunity to lay our lives down so that You may live in us. That we could walk, lay ourselves down, that You might get all the glory, Lord. Speak to us today, Lord. Grow us. Help us to have encounters with You in Your Word, in Your Spirit, and with one another. In Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise. He's worthy. Have your Bibles turn to Romans 12. Now this is, the first two verses we use were laying our lives down. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, whole and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. So we talked about all that. We used those two verses. And I've been working on the 3:12 to heaven, which is, we started with Hebrews 12, we went to Luke 12, and now we're finishing up here with Romans. So we're going to pick up in verse 3 in Romans and talk about the things the Lord speaks to us. Romans 12 and 13 help us sort out how we're going to live our spiritual lives. Hebrews 12 tells us the things we need to move away from, let go of. Luke 12 tells us to focus on eternal things, not this life. And then Romans 12 is going to tell us how to walk out our Christian faith. The first thing we do is lay our lives down. Boy, and that's a challenge. Paul said, I die daily. So it's not just something that we're going to do one time necessarily, but we're going to find ourselves laying our lives down daily. That's a challenge. It's a challenge in a marriage. It's a challenge at work. It's a challenge everywhere. But Romans 12 is going to help us sort through that. It's also going to give us some identity. Romans 12 is going to give us some identity. And if I use some words like anointing, if I use that word anointing, a lot of people may have a little idea what that means. Some people may not. Anointing is something that the Holy Spirit does in people's lives to give them a specific function in the body. All right, so He may anoint you to do certain things in the body. And His anointing can be cultivated. Sometimes it's His choosing. God may come in, and you may have several children, and His hand may be heavier on one than it is the other. Anointing is some things that we don't have much jurisdiction in. God said, hey, I'm going to pick one of Jesse's sons. You go out there and anoint him. Jesse brought all of his sons except for David, didn't he? He brought all the older sons. He had the youngest one there. He wasn't there. David was still out. So Samuel went down the line, right? And he said, it's not this one, it's not this one, it's not this one. He went all the way down the line. And he knew it wasn't any of those that God was going to anoint to be king. He said, do you have another son? Yeah, I've got the one. He's the youngest, so he's out in the field tending sheep. And Samuel said, go get him. Let's see if he's the one. And he was the one. So there are things about anointings that we are totally out of our realm in. But we can cultivate whatever God's done in us. And so we can grow in our callings and our anointings. Many are called, few are chosen. Some move to that level of being chosen. Those are people who get totally surrendered and sold out. But we can also grow in whatever it is God's given us to do. Now, we can also recognize that whatever God, and we're going to see all this in just a minute, whatever God has given us to do is not unimportant. It may not be as visible as someone else, but it's not unimportant. If we didn't have a big toe, guess what? We'd all be in balance. We wouldn't have proper balance. So everybody, nobody likes their big toe much, right? But we all need a big toe, so everybody's important. Look at what he says. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. And the word sober is a verb here, and it means to have self-control, to be temperate, to be discreet, and always, here's how we can do that. Always remember who it is that makes things happen. It's the Lord, not us. We can't open doors. We can't close them. He's the one that does that. Keep that in mind. That will keep us humble if we'll realize that everything we have has come from God. And I want to say this. God's not impressed with anybody's talents. Amen. He's not. You know why? Because He made you that way. If whatever you're talented in, God, you know what God's impressed with? Obedience and faithfulness. Amen. That's what He's after. Whatever I can do or whatever you can do, you can't take the credit for it. God made us that way. So He's not impressed with how good we are at something. You know what impresses God is being obedient and being faithful. I want to say something to you. There are people in the world that are more talented than people in the church. But they don't love God. There are better speakers in the world than I am. There are better singers in the world than in the church world. But they're not faithful. They're not obedient. God wants us to be faithful and obedient. He equips people, and some people take their talents and go to the world with them. But the difference, and why you can sense this many times in church, is God's people have a level of anointing that the world don't have. Amen. And that's what makes the difference. It's His hand resting upon them. It didn't mean that God didn't love Jesse's other sons. It didn't mean that they didn't have a role to play. In fact, they were in the army, right? They were in the military. But God had chose David, and there was nothing Jesse could do about it or any of the sons. They could be mad. They could be jealous. They said, "Why, he's the youngest. Why should he get picked?" But that's God's doing. Sometimes God just does what He does. And it's His prerogative. You know why? Because each one of us belonged to God before we belonged to anybody else. Even the world out there, the ones that don't choose to follow Him belong to Him, and He can use them however He wants to. Remember that with Pharaoh, right? Pharaoh did his own thing, but he knew who God was. God challenged him, and he said he resisted God, and God said, "Okay, I'm going to use you that way." And so he kept hardening his heart and using him in a bad way because he chose not to surrender to God. Now let's look at this. It says the word sober means to be temperate, discreet. And it's for as we have many members. Let me back up. He says, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts. Everybody say gifts. Here's where the gifts are in Romans 12. In 1 Corinthians 12 is where the manifestations are, and we'll take a look at them in just a minute. These are gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 is manifestations, and I'll prove it to you. There's a difference between what God has equipped you with and what the Holy Spirit does through you. And I'll show you that in just a minute. And he says, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, prophetia is the Greek word here, and it's a word that we use to speak forth about prophecy. It's the counsel or the mind of God. It's a revelation. So it's something beyond just the written word of God. Now, many of these guys who were writing back in their day were writing prophetically. They were giving the counsel and the mind of God. So it'd be like somebody, it's more than just preaching, all right? It's more than just preaching the Logos. Prophecy is a rhema. There are two words in the Greek used for word. We use word, but there's Logos and rhema. Logos is the written word of God. Rhema is a revelation from God. So you may have something to share with somebody that's a revelation from God. It may be the mind of the Holy Spirit, all right? And we could all have that. You could have a mind of the Holy Spirit to share the counsel and the revelation of God. So that's a gift some people have in proportion to their faith, and people can grow in that. The next one is ministry. Ministry is diakonia, and it's the same word where we get deacon from. Ministry here is not preaching the word. It is service, domestic or spiritual. So it's not somebody who's in part of the fivefold ministry like we read about in Ephesians. This is somebody who has ministry in the body. It could be domestic or spiritual or both, kind of like Stephen in the New Testament. And he says, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches, there's another word, the same word, diakonia with a different ending, diakolos, and it means all kinds of levels of instruction for doctrine. So there's all kinds of opportunities for us to be a teacher. You can be a teacher in your home. You could be a teacher in a Sunday school class. You could be a teacher at work. You could be a teacher in a discipleship group. You could be a teacher to your children. You could teach other women, men, so forth, so on. Get in the whatever, classroom. So that's a different ministry than the one I just mentioned where he says diakonia, somebody who's doing service. You see that? Now, what I want you to think about is think about how God's equipped you. Think about how he's given the love for you to do things. Ministry, this is the least of my ministry, what I'm doing here in the morning. This morning. Ministry is something I'm doing all week long. So think about this. He says, let us use it in our ministry, he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation. Now there are people that I've identified in this church that are exhorters. I hope you recognize that. Some of you, I've told you that. You are good at encouraging other people. The word that's used here is the same word, or same akin to the same word as paraclete. It's like the Holy Spirit. Is somebody who will call somebody to their side and admonish them or urge them to pursue the right thing. Admonish and urge people, right? That's an exhorter. An exhorter may be somebody who says, hey, Rob, I appreciate you. I see how you love the Lord, and I just want to encourage you to do the right thing and continue to follow him and whatever. That's a word of exhortation. That's not a word of prophecy. A word of prophecy would be for me to say, hey, Rob, the Lord showed me what happened to you at work yesterday, even though you've not told me, and here's what God says about that. That's prophetic. A lot of times we have our own thoughts, and our thoughts can be good or bad, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're the counsel of God. All right? If somebody's going to have a word of prophecy, they're going to know something they shouldn't know. That's how that's going to work. They're going to have some insight from the Holy Spirit that you don't know in the natural. So, but an exhorter could do both. God may equip you to do both, but an exhorter is going to be somebody who's that person who comes alongside or calls other people alongside them and just encourages them. And some people are good at that. Some people do me this way in the church. They call me aside and they exhort me and encourage me. In fact, somebody did that with me yesterday on the phone. They called me and gave me a word of exhortation. They have that gift. And so God, He equips us that way. And let me tell you something. You exhorters are just as important as the prophecy guys or the ministry guys. Exhorters are important to the church, especially in this day and time. And some of you are really, really equipped well at that. You're good at being exhorters. And don't be afraid to be exhorters. Don't be afraid to encourage people, but encourage them to do the right thing. That's what we should always do. Then the next one, these are all gifts that God will instill in people. And we all have different gifts, but they're all from the Lord. The next one, he says, he who gives with liberality. A giver, metadinomai, is the Greek word, and it means to share with others. There are people, and there are people in this body, and we're not talking about tithing. Tithing belongs to the Lord. If you keep that, you're stealing. But we're talking about givers, people who go beyond. My granny, who's 94, said, you ain't really give nothing till you go below the tithe, because the tithe's God's anyways, right? So somebody who's a giver is somebody who has a heart to share, and they have learned. These givers have learned you cannot outgive God, amen, and that they reap what they sow. I shared this in a setting this week. There's a preacher that I got to know, and I don't even know what kind of vehicle he drove, and I didn't ask, didn't care, and he didn't make it known because he just wasn't that way. But here's what he said. He got criticized for the vehicle he drove, whatever it was. And you know what he said in response to that? He said, don't you judge my harvest till you've seen my seed. Amen. If Rob sows 10 rows of corn and I sow one, guess who's going to get more corn? Rob. I can get mad at Rob and try to shoo all the crows over to his house. Or I can say, hey, maybe I'll plant 10 rows next year and see what happens. Right? That's how it works. So givers are people who give, and they don't begrudge giving. They know where they get their stuff from, God, and God just keeps giving. If you ever listen to Dave Ramsey, one of the things he said that's common about most millionaires he talks to is they're big givers. They don't care to turn loose of their money because they realize the value of that. So we can give, we can share in a lot of ways. It's not just money, this word that we're talking about, it, but it means somebody who is not just willing to share with others. Now, here's what a giver does. I'm going to put people on the spot. A giver is somebody who looks for opportunities to help others. They don't just sit back and wait for something to fall in their lap. They look for it. And so you can do that in many ways. We do that as a church with missions and all that kind of stuff. A lot of stuff going on with that. And then the next one he says with liberality. Give with be generous with your giving. Because God will not, He'll return that back to you. He who casts your bread on the water, right, and it'll return. He who leads with diligence. The word ruleth, prostimai, means to attend, to care for with diligence. So you can be a ruler in a lot of different areas. You could be a ruler at work. You could be a ruler at your house. And so all kinds of situations where you have some authority. What Paul's saying here by the Holy Spirit is you should be diligent about it. Be diligent about being a ruler and take good care, attend. Make sure you're watching out for those that you care for, whether it's your family or whatever it is. So those are all gifts. Some people have gifts. Some people have a higher level of gifts. Some people have gifts like that, and God uses them higher in different levels, maybe on the job or whatever. God blesses them to have that gift, and they grow in every way. But no matter where you grow at with your gift, here's something I want to caution you with. If it's at work, if it's in the church, if it's in a social circle, wherever you grow with your gift, if it's in politics, whatever it is, don't forget who put you there and who gave you that gift. Don't forget that. We didn't make ourselves. That's what the psalmist said. It's the Lord who made us. So if you're gifted at something, God made you that way. He gave you a heart. He gave you love for that. And then finally, he says, the giver of mercy. This is those who are always considering others. I've spotted that in this church. There are people in this church that are always considering others with mercy. They're merciful. They're looking for that. Now, let's flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll come back to Romans here in just a minute. But let's take you to 1 Corinthians 12. It's interesting to me that the gifts are in Romans 12. Now, these gifts are something that God equips you with. He will equip you with a gift. These next things are spirit manifestations, and he'll say that. If you have a New King James Bible, you got the word right. The King James, and it'll start off just like the New King James here in chapter 12. It says, now concerning spiritual, if you've got a New King James or a King James or maybe any other Bible, I don't know exactly, but the word gifts is italicized. And the reason is because it's not in the original text. So the way this would read is now concerning spirituals. Wouldn't say anything about gifts there. He's going to mention the gifts we just talked about, but it would say now concerning spirituals or spiritual things, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, talking to all of us, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking of the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So he's qualifying things there, that the Holy Spirit is essential to a Christian believer. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We just read about theirs. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Now, last week, we were totally blown out of the water with how the Holy Spirit walked in this place and done some awesome things in here. Amen. That's how he chose to do it last week. He didn't choose to do it. That's what this scripture is talking about. Look what he says here. I want you to hear this so you don't get all carried away and think the Holy Spirit's got to do everything the same all the time or whatever. He says, there are different gifts or diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities or different activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But, everybody say but. So now he just talked about those gifts we read about in Romans 12, but he also gave us some insight on how the Holy Spirit does that. He works through ministry. He works through gifts. But then there's a but. And the reason there's a but is because he's going to turn us on to something else and give us some revelation about something else about the Holy Spirit. But the manifestation, everybody say manifestation. That's what we're talking about. There are gifts that we read about in Romans 12. And there are gifts mentioned in other places in the Scripture too, actually in Corinthians here. And then there is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. What's the difference between a manifestation and a gift? A manifestation is something that the Holy Spirit does through you for a specific reason at a specific time, but you don't always have the ability to do it. A gift is something that God has given you as a part of your makeup that you are a steward over. And you now are, you should cultivate that gift, you should grow in that gift. But a manifestation is when the Holy Spirit takes somebody and uses them for a moment, for a season, for a time, for a purpose, and then He may not use them that way again for whenever, or maybe never. All right? But this is how the Holy Spirit works. He told us about the gift. The manifestation of the Spirit. There's nothing about flesh in this, right? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all is italicized. It's given to profit. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit. But this is not something they keep with them all the time. It's a supernatural moment, different from Romans 12. This is a supernatural moment when the Holy Spirit envelops somebody. Do you remember what God says to Gideon? One translation says He puts him on like a glove, right? And the Holy Spirit's the hand. The Hebrew says that He enveloped Gideon. He enveloped him. And that's what we're talking about. When you're talking about the Holy Spirit taking over somebody's life, giving them supernatural ability or insight in certain situations, that's the difference between Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. The Holy Spirit may rest upon Rob, give him a word of wisdom for a moment, for a situation. I'll give an example in the Scripture. Paul is on the ship that's about ready to go under, they think. And Paul comes out. He said, I've heard from the Lord, right? He gave him a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom is the mind of God. It's something God's speaking for that situation. He says, don't anybody leave the boat. If you leave the boat, you lose your life. Now, they had to make a decision, right? They had to make a decision if he was telling the truth or not, right? But you can sense when people are being led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. So he steps up here and he says, the one is given a spirit of the word of wisdom, to another a word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Now, let me clarify those because they're two different things. And we're talking in a different realm here than we're talking in Romans 12. A word of wisdom is something that's futuristic. A word of knowledge is something that's for the now. All right? So you get a word, my friend who's was the missionary to Romania, he got a word of wisdom before he got on the plane that day flying to Romania. And the word of wisdom was God gave him some insight on what he was going to do when he landed in Romania. So when the plane got in trouble that flight, and he said he'd never seen anybody, he'd never seen the stewards. He'd been across the ocean 200 some times. He rode the trains in and back behind the Iron Curtain. He was smuggling Bibles in for years, since the 40s or 50s, I guess. He said, I'd never been on a flight that was that troubled. And he said, the first time I saw every flight attendant was scared to death. Everybody was afraid. He said, but I didn't have any fear because I'd had a word of wisdom from God before I got on that plane that He was going to get me to do something when I landed in Romania. Amen. So what did he do? The stewardess, one of the stewardess called him out of her eye and said, why aren't you afraid? She asked him that question, why aren't you nervous? He said, then with the word of wisdom he had from God before he got on the plane, he gave a word of knowledge to her and said, this plane's not going down, miss. I had a word from God before I got on here. You see, that's how those things work. God sets us up. Now, why does He set us up? Whether it's a gift or a manifestation. Why would He do that? So He can get the glory. He led three people to Christ on that flight. And guess what? The plane landed fine in Romania. But God used that situation to get Him to get His glory. God got the glory. He gets all the glory from that. So that's the difference between a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. These are all things the Holy Spirit does. He may not do them every day. He may do them once a year. He may do it now and 6 years from now do it again with you. He may not. And he says, the manifestation of the Spirit, the profit of all. So it's all profit for all of us, wisdom, word of knowledge. To another, same Spirit faith. So this is supernatural faith. When you're in a situation where you need supernatural faith, when the Holy Spirit gives you more faith. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, the prophecy. To another, discerning the Spirit. And to another, different or kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of these tongues. But one and the same Spirit works out. So when the Holy Spirit does things, He takes over a situation supernaturally and does it to bring glory to Jesus. Your gift that we talk about in Romans 12 is something that you became responsible for. I'll give an example of that out of Scripture. Jesus gave, He gave a parable about three guys getting stuff, right? Getting coins. And He held them all responsible. He made them all responsible. So when He come back, the one that had two had doubled. The one that had five had doubled. The one that had one didn't do anything with it. Now you see? If God gives you a gift, you're responsible to cultivate it. You don't have to kick doors down. All you have to do is cultivate that gift, and He will open the doors. Do you know, I've been doing this for, what is today? 32 years, and I've not asked anybody to preach, not one time. I just let God open the doors. Not one time in 32 years have I asked anybody to let me preach. Because I trust the Lord in that. I trust He will put me where He wants me. He'll put me there when I'm ready. Not one time. Because I don't want to be somewhere I'm not supposed to be. Amen. I want to be in the will of the Lord. So you see, all these manifestations are supernatural things that the Holy Spirit, and He may do them in somebody regularly. He may do them on a regular basis. He may not. But we don't take ownership of manifestations, right? Every widow, Elijah didn't go fix every widow's problem, right? Just the one, right? So God, you know, if you had the gift of healing, you'd go clean out the hospital this morning. But it's not a gift. It's a manifestation. So the Holy Spirit may send you to the hospital after service is over. You may go in and pray for somebody, and they may walk out of there healed. That's the Holy Spirit, though. But if you had a gift that belonged to you that you could cultivate, then you could go to the hospital and wipe it out this morning. Everybody get laid off at the hospital. But that we're talking, see, and here's where a lot of people get confused. They call these, and they call them because we stepped out a little too far in calling these gifts, even in the translation. These are clearly manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, I've been used in that some, all right? I've prayed for some people, and they've been healed instantly. We had a couple like that last Sunday. I've prayed for people, they got healed later on. All right? I've prayed for people, and they've got sicker. It's truth. My heart's always there. I want to exercise my faith, because faith moves God, but sometimes the Holy Spirit just sits down and does it. I remember a couple bringing their child who was like 3 years old, had a tumor the size of an egg. It looked just like an egg on the side of his throat. They brought him up that night. I laid my hand on that tumor, and when I closed my eyes, I saw red lightning. That's all I can describe it. I saw red lightning flash down and hit that tumor. He walked off that platform with no tumor. I believe in all that stuff. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. I didn't heal him. Everybody understand that? All I did was pray and obey. Ha, 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 ha. That's all God's after, right? The guy who's got the largest church in the world, right? But I'm telling you, I've prayed for people and they've become worse, right? I'm not taking the fault for that either. I'm not going to take... If I'm not going to steal the glory, I'm not going to take the fault. But what I'm saying to you is, don't let it frustrate you. I'll give you another example. I walked into two rooms really close together. Both of them had heart trouble. This happened in ministry. I walked into one room. The one lady looked like she'd already been to the beauty shop. I mean, she looked good after all the heart trouble. I thought, you're out of the woods. As soon as I turned the door and walked out and started walking down that hallway, I got a word of knowledge from the Lord. The Holy Spirit said, I'm going to take her. Said, I'm going to take her. Didn't look like He's going to take her to me. Looked like she just come out of Vidal Sassoon to me. I told my age with that, didn't I? Somebody bring me some of that shampoo. I'd really like to have some. But she was ready. She was ready to meet the Lord. I mean, she was happy. A couple of days she left. I walked in another room. The lady looked like she was leaving here. She had everything. She had a heart valve problem. The surgery didn't go well. She was out of it. So I read a psalm over her. I felt quickened to read a psalm over it. And did you hear what I just said? I'm trying to share some things with you so you can sort out what's going on. I felt quickened. I didn't get a word, but I felt quickened. So there's a lot of things that can happen in a spiritual person's life. You can be quickened. You may get a word. You see what I'm saying? You may have some exhortation from the Scriptures. A lot of things can happen. I walk in that room. She's got a valve problem. It didn't go well. And I read to her, because I'm going to tell you something. If you go minister to people, the last thing to go is the hearing. So you, even if they're out of it, you pray with them. I've asked people to repent in their minds, people that I didn't feel like was ready. You pray. You speak out loud, because many times they can hear you. I read this psalm over her, spoke over her, left that room that time thinking, she's probably going to die. Well, I don't remember when I got this word, but the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to raise her up. A few weeks later, she was raised up. You know what she told me? She said, I heard every word of that psalm you read over me. And she said, I also heard the nurses making fun of you for reading that to me after you left. She said, but I heard every word of it. And she's still alive today. So what I'm saying to you is, I've went in and prayed for people. They've died. I've went in and prayed for some, got better. We don't get to determine when the manifestations happen. You understand what I'm saying? So don't get disappointed if you go pray for somebody sometimes and nothing happens. Because there is faith, there's supernatural workings, and then there's sovereignty. I'm going to give you another little idea here. When your faith, my faith, your gift, my gift, manifestations, whatever, when all that's going on, sometimes God just sovereignly says, no, I'm making the call here. And when His sovereignty comes in, He overrides our faith and everything. Sometimes God just comes in and says, I'm taking them home, or I'm doing this or that or the other. So we can't go beyond that. Sometimes the Holy Spirit does supernatural things. He involves us. Sometimes, like last Sunday, the Holy Spirit just pushes us out of the way, does His own thing. That's fine too. Sometimes you get a gift from God or a manifestation from the Holy Spirit. That's all fine. That's all part of the body. And we need that. We watched, when we went to the Creation Museum, we watched a couple of movies that Johnny showed on the video. My wife was sitting here across the aisle from me with my daughter, and we were watching that. And the two videos showed people who just used their home and started discipling people. One of them was a true story. I know, I think maybe both, but I know the one was. And I looked at my wife, and then they showed later in life what had happened to these people he'd discipled. One of them had done this. One was in NASA, I think. One was a pastor. Christians love God. They all gather at this guy's grave every year and remember how he had discipled them. I looked at my wife, and I said, those are the people that are getting it done right there. The ones that will just go get one, two, three, four, and just keep reaching out. I was so impressed. So God gifts you for a reason. He may never gift you to stand in a pulpit. Be glad. Amen. But He's gifted you with something. Sometimes your service opens doors for you and I. Just a deed of kindness can open a door where He can lead somebody to Christ. Sometimes the Holy Spirit may walk you down the middle of a hallway in a hospital and say, turn in here. I want you to pray for this person. I'm getting ready to raise them up. That happens. All that stuff happens. But we got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We got to keep our minds on His stuff and not on our stuff and not on the world stuff. Keep His mind. So when you're walking through Walmart, if God says, I'm going to send you through this cash line here, this woman's in trouble that's getting ready to check you out, I want you to minister to her. That's who we ought to be as Christians. Be ready to be instant, in season and out, like Paul talks about. God will speak to you. He'll speak to you in dreams. He'll speak to you in visions. One guy said, hey, you're blocking my vision. I turned around. I said, oh, I didn't know you was having one. But God will speak to you in visions. He'll speak to you in dreams. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't think God has changed at all. In fact, I know He's not changed, or He's a liar. And we know He's not a liar. I think what's changed is we're too busy. We're too occupied. God's wanting more time, wants to speak into us, and we're all consumed. I'll give you another example of how the Lord works. A guy in Cincinnati, laying on his couch asleep, has a dream. In his dream, it's a true story. In his dream, he sees a lady. He sees a street. He goes down the street in his dream, sees a house on the hill. He walks up to the house on the hill, knocks on the door. A lady comes to the door. She's blind. And the guy says, what are you waiting on in his dream? She said, I'm waiting on somebody to come lay hands on me and pray for me that I can receive my sight. A few weeks go by, however long went by, forgot about the dream. One morning he wakes up and his son runs a paper route, and he can't run his paper route because he's so sick, and he said his dad had to run his paper route for him. So in Cincinnati, Ohio, he's running down the road doing his paper route, and he turns down this street, and all of a sudden it hits him. It's the street in his dream. He had no idea he was going to be running his son's paper route a few weeks later. He drives down the street, looks up on the hill. There's that house that he saw in his dream. Freaked him out. Got in his car, turned, and drove out. Afraid. Drove for a while, come back, went back up the street, got enough nerve to walk up to the door, knocked on the door, and here come a lady who was blind standing at the door. You know the rest of the story. He prayed for her, and God restored her sight. I don't know what her background, I don't know if she was born blind, I don't know if she had blindness from some accident, don't know any of that stuff, but the Lord is able to do anything. Just go home and get a science book out and read how many capillaries and arteries are in your body and then tell me there's no God. Amen. Look at conception and birth and all that whole process and tell me there's no God. Our God is able to do far above. But we don't make things happen. What we do is we put ourselves in a position to be used by God. Now let's go back to Romans 12, because I want to give you the tail end of this. So after he tells us we all got gifts offered to us, and then we saw where manifestations can be worked through us by the Holy Spirit, he says, let love be without hypocrisy. Don't just love the people that are lovable. How many times did Jesus tell us that? He said, what glory do you have if you love somebody that loves you back? Love people that don't love you. Win them with love, right? He said, if you have a big feast, don't invite everybody that can pay you back. Invite the people that can't pay you back. Invite the lame, the halt, the blind, the sick, the feeble. Love everybody. He says for us to love them all. Love. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Giving preference to one another. Giving preference. Who did that? Abraham. Abraham gets called out, don't he? Here comes Lot. Abraham brings him along. God, they get there and they get to the best property in the whole place. You know what God says? Choose you. Abraham says, choose. Abraham could have said, wait a minute, Lot. You're just a tag-along. I'm the one that got called. Back down over there. I'll give you what I want you to have in a minute. Right? But Abraham stepped back and he said, Lot, you pick first. You know what Lot did? He got the best place in the whole joint. Abraham got the side of the mountain. But guess who wound up being the most blessed when it was all said and done? Abraham. And he goes on, he says, prefer one another. Prefer. Do that in your marriage. Prefer your spouse. Do that. Prefer one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Or consistent. That's what the word hupomene means. We translate means be consistent in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Always pray. Man, I got... When I worked in the mines, they brought in a know-it-all. Anybody ever been at a job where they bring in a know-it-all? I was in Bell County working in the mines. It's a big mines. We had a lot of mines going, big washer plant. And load way over a million tons a year. Well, they brought a guy in from Pikeville who knew more than everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's fine. But the way he went about sticking it in everybody's face, which he didn't know more than everybody else, they finally sent him back to Pikeville. But I tell you what, he made me so mad one day, I wanted to take him back in the mine somewhere and stuff him and leave him. And we worked 5 miles underneath the mountain. It'd been a long trip for him out of there. And he'd had to crawl because you couldn't walk. It's about as high as the back of that chair you're sitting in there. I was so angry at him. He'd come out and act like he was going to throw me off the hill. We was up the mine house, the shower house, and the office was up on the hill. And I was doing everything I could to hold my peace. But I was angry. This went on for a few days. And the day he offered to throw me off the hill, I bucked up a little bit on him so he knew he wasn't just going to get to toss me over. Because Hank Williams Jr. started playing in the back of my mind. But I went home that evening. I was already pursuing ministry at this time. I wasn't doing ministry much, but I wasn't full-time, but I was pursuing it. I was getting ready. I was doing my 3 years in the desert like Paul. I'd go to the creek bank every day and pray when I got home from the mines. This was before I was married even. I went to that creek bank, and I sit down, was angry, frustrated, getting ready to have God send fire down from heaven on this guy, you know. I figured God didn't like him either. So, I started praying, and I started praying for him. And for about 5 minutes, it was like I had an out-of-body experience. God put me in his shoes, and I felt what he felt inside. He was a sinner, into everything. And I felt the wretchedness, the pain, the misery he was feeling, and it broke me. It broke me. I began to weep, and I realized what a bad shape he was in, and we were all just getting the blunt of it, but what was going on inside of him was what was ripping him apart. And I was able to pray for him, and I started being kind to him. I turned Hank Williams Jr. off in the back, and I started reaching out to him. I wish I could tell you that I led him to Christ, but I didn't. But it changed my whole attitude, because I think this has been years ago, but for the first time in my life, I felt what Jesus felt in Hebrews, where it says, he has borne our griefs and pains, and he's touched with our infirmities because he's been there too. Only way I was looking at this guy was, you're a boss and you're a knucklehead. I'm a boss and I'm not a knucklehead. And, you know, and we're going to have it out here. But then when I walked in his shoes, when the Holy Spirit let me feel what he felt inside, it broke me and I was able to begin to pray for him. I hope and pray he come to Christ before his time's up down here. God wants us to love everybody. He wants us to be kind. He wants us to prefer one another. And that's not always the easy thing to do. He wants us to continue in prayer, to be patient in tribulation or consistent, and to distribute to the needs of the saints given to hospitality. And we'll come back to Romans 14 next week, because we'll jump another place before we finish this 3:12 to heaven. We're to consider the needs of brothers and sisters. We've sent a lot of food. We're sending a lot of food out of our food pantry right now. Got a lot coming in, a lot going out. But I got some really exciting news to tell you. We've raised enough money to finish the second church in Nigeria. They're finishing it right now. None of us in this building come close to being as poor as Stephen. None of us. Stephen, now we have 2 churches and 2 schools up and running in Nigeria. It's a hotbed. It's a dangerous place to be a believer. The last thing, and this is going to take us about 4 more years, we need to finish what we started. We're actually helping one of his sons become a doctor. And that takes about $3,000 a year. That's going to happen this fall again. So we got about 4 more years for his son to finish and be a doctor. That's going to be such a blessing for them in their community. They're going to have the churches, the schools, and a doctor that's in their own community, which is a major blessing. So we want to finish that over the next 4 years. And that takes about $3,000 a year. But we have the church, they're finishing up the insides of it now. We have raised enough support to do that. So we should be thankful for that. You all need to understand that your neighbor is anybody you have the ability to reach. That's what the Greek word means. Stephen's our neighbor because we have the ability to affect his life. But God wants us to give, and He wants us to take care of one another, and He wants us to watch out for each other, distributing to the needs of the saints. So we do that. You're not going to hear, but it wouldn't be right for us to announce what we do in the body. But over the course of time, people who get in troubled times in this church, we help them. We don't publish it or make, because you wouldn't want it published if that ever happens to you. But we do a lot of that here. We do a lot of mission work across around the world. We do a lot of food. We try to give a lot of food away. And the last thing we're going to do, we're going to take a load of food to the Indian reservation in October, but they also need cleaning supplies. So we're going to have a cleaning supply drive here in the next few weeks. So those are the kind of things we're talking about. Now, we've been talking about, you guys can come to the instruments. We've been talking about the 312 to heaven and how that in Hebrews, he talks about getting rid of stuff that's in the way and getting yourself committed. In Luke 12, he talks about keeping your focus on eternal things, not things down here. In Romans 12, he's teaching us how to live out our Christianity. So I challenge you to look at these gifts here in Romans 12. Those manifestations are up to the Holy Spirit, but these gifts here, look and see what God's equipped you. Look what you take pleasure from and get more active in it. Get more active. We're running out of time. The Lord's coming soon. Get more active in the thing. If you're an exhorter, get more active in it. If you're a giver, get more active in it. If you share with people mercy and things and share good things with them, get more active in it. Let's stand to our feet. Let's live out our Christian life. Here's what I want to happen in this church. I want it to be just like the disciples. I want us to come here, get filled up, encourage one another, strengthen, meet with the Holy Spirit. But I want to hear you guys coming in the door saying, I led somebody to Christ at work. I led somebody to Christ at Walmart. Or I was able to do this. That's what the disciples, they went out and come back. They still gathered together. But when they come back, they say, man, the devils had, we had power over the demons. We cast this demon out of this guy. Or we prayed for this person who was sick and they got healed. And that's, we want to exercise our Christianity. We don't want Christianity to be what happens in this box once a week. I'm going to take it with us. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to invite you to surrender your life this morning. We've seen a lot of people come to Christ lately, and we just want you to surrender your life. Come to this altar this morning and surrender your life to the Lord. Let Him be the Lord of your life. Maybe you have another need. We've seen God move in lots of needs lately. Whatever your need is, will you just slip out of your seat? Come be with the Lord. If you want us to pray with you, we'll pray with you. As we worship just for a moment here, this altar's open. Will you come? Lord, we praise you for your love and mercy and your kindness. Thank you for this moment. As you take this communion this morning, you guys can go ahead and pass it out. I just want you to have your own moment with God as they pass this out. They're going to keep playing up here. But have your moment with the Holy Spirit this morning. Let Him hear your voice. We worship you, Lord. Just be still and know that He is the Lord. Be still and know that He's God. It's all about surrender. Surrender, surrender. We surrender, Lord. We surrender, Jesus. You're the Holy One of Israel. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of all. We surrender, Lord. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the glory, power, and the glory forever.